next time. Okay, so everybody grab your Bibles and turn to 3 John. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John.
Jude, Revelation. So this is the third to last book of the Bible now?
We are approaching the end. Where did that come from?
Third John. So this should be like probably the last.
Last 12 pages of your Bible, maybe. Yeah. We should do Revelation. I think high school just did Revelation. You can probably listen to the recordings. But if they just did it and then I do it, then I'm like a copycat. Just do Revelation. Wow, she's like, you're like my coach today. Okay, let's stand on our feet. We're going to start in verse 5 of 3 John. Wow, coach, spent all this time talking about... Oh, look, you turned... Wow, those are so short in that book because of the font. Huh?
Look, it hurts.
No, you're not taller than me. What are you standing on? Dodgeballs? Oh, well, then no, you're not taller than me. Whoa. Whoa. Okay, verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together to this place. We thank you for the fun that we're able to have when we look to your word and when we just come together and talk about you. And we pray that you would be in our presence, Lord, that you would be in every word that I speak. Fill me with your spirit. And I pray that each and every one of us, including myself, that we would all learn something new today and grow deeper in you. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. So we've made our way from 2 John to 3 John. That's what we did Wednesday. So if you weren't here, we closed 2 John and then we started 3 John. And we were looking at a guy named Gaius and seeing what we can learn from his life. He's a very interesting dude. He's a Christian, and we're seeing that he basically lived out what we learned in 2 John, and he showed us that it's possible, that we as human beings can actually seek to live in the truth and to walk in the truth. And as we continue in 3 John, we're going to see two Christians who have gone before us that we should aspire to be like. So two Christians that the example they set is something that we should be, that we should want for ourselves and our lives. And then we're going to see another Christian who has gone before us that we should aspire to not be like. He's a bad example. So this is kind of like, in this letter, it's like flipping through an old photo album of your family, you know, and you're seeing firsthand what your great-great-grandparents looked like and what they did. And you can be like, whoa, I want to be like him when I grow up. Or you can see like your crazy aunt from like Oklahoma and you can be like, whoa, I do not want to be like her when I grow up. Everybody has a crazy aunt from Oklahoma. Or is that just me? Is that just me? Am I the only one? No, I don't know. My crazy aunt is from California. She's from here, I think, born and raised. Doesn't everybody have a crazy aunt, though, right? Or, like, a crazy uncle? Or, like, a crazy first cousin? Everybody, really? No crazy? Wow. Okay.
My uncle's girlfriend? Yeah, she's really nice.
So, we're going to see, like, two uncles that we should want to be like, and then one aunt that's just the crazy aunt that we're like, hello. Hello, are you sure we're related? I guess that's just me, though. I'm the only one with an aunt like that. But Today, we're learning something new about Gaius. We're going to learn something different about him. So we saw that he embodied 2 John, and now we're going to learn some new things about him. And we're going to see that he was very happy and very willing to open his home to traveling Christian preachers. So in that time, preachers would have gone from like town to town, and they would have asked to like stay in Christian homes, and then they would have preached at the church that was in the town. They would have like freshened up and like ate some food, and then they would have been on their way to another town and have done their thing. But what we need to know about these preachers is they traveled around teaching in truth. So it was in line with Scripture, and it was in line with the person of Jesus Christ. So these were people that we agree with in their doctrine. They were not false teachers at all. And they were not seeking anything from unsaved people. So verse 7 says they were taking nothing from Gentiles. And what that means is they weren't asking for or desiring any money or any kind of support from Gentiles or from people who were unsaved, because they were really out to minister to them. So they didn't want to put kind of a burden on them, if that makes sense. Basically, we would call people like this today missionaries. They're kind of just modern missionaries, people who go around to different areas preaching and teaching the Bible and teaching people about Jesus and serving others. And Gaius did all he could to support these people. Many people think that he not only housed them, so he let them into his home, welcomed, they were basically strangers. He didn't know them. All he knew is that they were Christians who taught the word of God. He let them into his home. He fed them food from his own private place you keep the food. What do you call that? Pantry? He supported them financially, so like before they left, he would give them money to get to wherever they need to go. He mended their clothes and did their laundry, so he would, like, if they have like a hole in their jeans, well, they didn't have jeans at that time, but if they did, they would like sew it up, they'd fix it, and then he'd wash it for them and like just really help them out in any way that he could. And here's what's cool about this. Sometimes the position of missionaries and like the position of preachers can be elevated in the church. Like, we look up to that as like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. That's what I'm going to do. But the fact is that not everybody is called and not everybody is gifted for these positions. And it's really a relief, because a lot of us would rather kind of play in the background. And God's gifted us for things that don't need to be in front of people, that don't need to be on stage, but that instead need to support people who are going in front of people, who are reaching people who they don't even speak the same language to. And those are hard places to be as a missionary or as a preacher of God's word, where you're just going around without your family, like, and you're just devoted to serving God wherever he leads you, whoever it may be, serving with complete strangers. That's a hard place to be, and God simply just hasn't called all of us to that. In Romans 12 verse 4 through 5, it says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. So not all of us are called to be like the hands of the body, you know what I mean? So the hands would be like the missionaries and the preachers who go and they do specific things, and you see them a lot, they're doing a lot, they're going to very specific people with their whole lives, they're not just doing it for a short time. But some of us aren't called to be the hands. We're called more to be like the elbow of the body. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen people really like showing off their elbows. Elbows are more like, they're just there. Like, no one puts makeup on their elbows, and no one, like, I don't think people shave their elbows. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like my elbow would get cut if I did that. But maybe, I don't know. But no one puts like a lot of focus. No one really cares if they have nice elbows or not. I don't even know if people know what a nice elbow is. But without the elbow, the hand wouldn't be able to get to where it needs to go. Like, and without the shoulder, our hands would be useless, because they wouldn't be able to get to where they need to go. And so some of us, and a lot of people in the church, are called not to be going to the specific spots with their whole lives, but they're called to be supporting those who are going and serving those who are going and sending those. They're called more like supporters and senders. And they're like the elbow, because the hand, the missionary or the preacher, could not get there, could not do what he's doing or what she's doing without the elbow to assist. You know what I'm saying? You see, imagine if I didn't have my elbow. How would I get there? That's what I would have to do. I'd just have to like launch it up there, and that'd be lame. No, because the shoulder is an important joint too. It's like the shoulder and the elbow are a tag team. They're a tag team. See? I told you, you need your elbow, or it'll hurt. It'll hurt you. So, verse 8 tells us that these senders and these supporters, though they're not like, they're not elevated like we do in the church, and it's not a good thing. It's not the right thing to do to look up to the position of like a preacher or the position of a missionary. Verse 8 tells us that they're neither less or greater, the supporters or senders, but that they become partners as they teach the truth. So we are as supporters and senders. We're not just like on the sidelines, but we are partnering up with them and a part of their team as they teach the truth. So today, our main focus, we're going to focus on three ways that Gaius supported missionaries in his time. And we will in return learn how we can become partners with them as early as today. Yes, you heard me right. We can start it today. So we're going to look at how we can support missionaries today. Physically, first physically, second personally, and then third prayerfully. If you're taking notes, you can jot those down. That's kind of our plan for today. Physically, personally, and prayerfully. So first, physically. Physically, what this just means is meeting the needs of a missionary or of a preacher that you can actually see and feel. So this can be financial support, and it's a huge aspect of ministry and of missionary work and of preachers, because almost everybody in the world needs money to live. It's just a fact. And we have the ability to give them money so that they're able to support their families, or so they're able to go where God has called them and to actually live there. Because a lot of missionaries, they don't have time to work full-time jobs to support their families. So they rely on financial support from people like you and people like me and from churches like ours and churches like other churches in Modesto and around the world. But physical support, it doesn't just stop at finances. It doesn't just stop at money. The possibilities are seriously endless. Gaius, he opened his home. He gave them food. So he cooked for them. That is so nice. Do you realize how nice that is? A complete stranger who he's never met before, he opens his home, says, hey, yeah, crash on the couch. They probably didn't have couches, but you know what I mean. Crash on the couch. You can use the restroom. This bathroom's for you. We hammock. I've got a hammock in the back for you. Why? If they didn't have couches, why would they have hammocks? Hey, we've got. But this isn't the stable that Jesus was born in. I think they have better than hay. Whatever they have, but he's like, you can sleep on that bed. And he mended and washed their clothes. That's really nice. Someone you've never met before, someone that you don't owe anything to, you're just doing this to partner up with them in the ministry that they were called to. And it seems really basic, but imagine how much this helps that person to have a little bit more money so that he could go a little more further, to have food in his body so that he could literally go a little more further, because without food, you can't go. You'll pass out. You need food to live. And then he mended and washed their clothes, gave them clean clothes. Have you guys ever had dirty clothes for like that have been dirty for a long time? It's the worst. Right? Dirty clothes? Like, I mean when they're really dirty. Your favorite shirt? Yeah. But when it, like, when it gets so dirty that it, like, weighs more than it should, like, your sweat and dirt has started to weigh it down, that's when, yeah, that's when you need somebody like Gaius to wash your clothes. That, I mean, it's so kind what he does. But we can team up with missionaries and team up with preachers in a physical way, in many other ways. So, like, if they're local, we can offer to clean their houses for them. Whoa. How much would that help somebody out who's busy serving at the church or busy, like, always traveling around serving in other places to say, hey, don't worry about this. I'll clean your house for you. I'll clean your bathroom for you. To babysit their kids if they have kids for free. Whoa. That's awesome. Or to mow their lawn for them so that they don't have to pay for someone to do it or so that they don't have to do it themselves. And that sounds so basic, but it really would help these people who are called to missionary work, who are called to preach. If they're distant, so if they're like long-distance missionaries in another country, we can send them care boxes that have like American snacks in them, like send them a box of Cheez-Its. Because they may not have Cheez-Its there, and maybe they love Cheez-Its. You can send them new clothes, like just some fresh jeans, so that they don't have to worry about getting fresh jeans. Send new toys to them for their kids, just so that they're supported. You know what I mean? Meeting those physical needs. And there's interesting ways to do it, and there's a whole bunch of options to do it. Like, I just named a few, but it really does help. And it really does encourage and support them, just as we see Gaius doing to the preachers that came to his town. So we can do it physically, we can support them physically, but we can also do it personally. And this is really cool. I like supporting missionaries personally. So this is when you take some of your time to directly go and help the missionary in their ministry. So this can look like taking a week of your own time to go to Mexico or to go to like Australia and team up with missionaries who are there and just help them. If they need like the toilet to be cleaned, clean their toilets for them. Just do what they need. When I was in high school, I went to Austria on like a missions trip kind of thing. And I actually did it twice. So I did it one summer and then I did it the next summer. I did it for 2 months. I was there. And I was like in the coffee shop. That was my job. Even like I didn't get paid. I paid to go there. But that was what I did, was the coffee shop. And just giving your time and to missionaries, because that's what the castle was for. So we went to Austria. We'd stay in a castle. And then missionaries all around Europe would come to that castle to take like a week off and to just get together. And then I was there just serving them, like fixing things and building things and cleaning things and like making milkshakes and putting whipped cream on it. And these little things are able to bless and support missionaries. Right now, there's a group of, I think it's like 20 people from our church going, or they're already in Austria at that castle. Yeah, Tacy's mom is there. And they're just serving missionaries from all over Europe who have come to just take a week off. How awesome is that? I think it's so cool. And you're there, you're just hanging out with them and you're blessing them, you're supporting them. Our youth groups, usually we do this like every 3 years or so. We take a trip to Mexico and we team up with Ken and Rita Marr. They're missionaries that are from our church that went and started a church in Mexico. And we just go and help them. Last time we were there, we built a house. We cleaned stuff for them. We painted stuff for them. We like shared the gospel with people. And it was just to team up with them for a short time. And like if they needed help with paperwork, catch them up on their paperwork. Or if they needed help sorting a clothes shipment or something, we would help with little things like that. Like one day, we just leveled a pothole in the road. And it's so basic, but it's things that they can't do on their own because they don't have time or because maybe they have back pain or something and they can't do it. And so you just go and help personally. You yourself go and do it. And it can be like helping a preacher catch up on paperwork that he's been behind, like preachers actually have paperwork and like emails and stuff to do, like normal people, and they do need help with it. It can be helping someone in ministry getting caught up on housekeeping, and it's like, it seems so lame, but those basic things are like the elbow that allows the hand to go where God has called the hand to be. So we see that we can support missionaries physically, we can support them personally, but then we can support them prayerfully. And this is when we simply, I'm going to blow your mind here, this is when we simply support a missionary by praying for them. Just kidding. It was kind of a joke. It wasn't really going to blow your mind. But this is so exciting because it's so simple. And when we pray for a missionary, we become a partner in their ministry just as much as we would if we were actually there, or if we were mending their clothes, or if they were staying the night in our home as they're traveling through. Through prayer, we are able to become a partner in their ministry. And it is that easy. Because not all of us have the money to, like, go to Austria tomorrow. I'm assuming most of us don't. Not all of us have the money to, like, send a missionary to Austria tomorrow. Not all of us can hop on a plane because we're in school. I know. Yeah, it's pretty rough. But we are in no way limited in the amount of support that we can offer a missionary through prayer. It's unlimited. All we have to do is pray for them. And we, as Christians, we need to never underestimate the power of supporting missionaries and preachers through prayer. Because, yeah, it is so easy. And sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes, I guess it's just the way we are as people, we can sometimes write off the easy things as, like, too easy. You know, it has to be harder for it to actually matter. It has to, like, require more from me for it to actually make a difference. But we can seriously make a difference just by asking God in prayer to bless a missionary. And it doesn't make sense because it's so easy, it's so simple, but it really can. It really can make a difference. So now, as we come to a close, I want to close with some really practical application. So I'm going to give you like a challenge. It's like challenge time. Not challenge, but something that I'd really encourage you guys to do. So next time you're in the fellowship hall, so that's like that big hall that's directly below us. Next time you're in there, like hanging out with your friends or your parents, go and look at the missionary board that we have on, if you're in the fellowship hall, it'd be on that wall over there. And it's like this big old map that has pictures of missionaries all around it. And they all have little strings that go right to where they are on the map. So there's like Dean Malaspina. He is from our church and he is the principal of the Bible College in Italy. From our church. Yes. And he's a missionary. So, like, you would see his picture, and then it would follow to his little dot right there. You have the Salmons, Troy and Rebecca Salmons. They're from our church. And he's a veterinarian who serves in Africa, teaching people how to, like, take care of animals better so that they can raise up livestock and support their families. And it's these, like, basic missionaries doing basic things, but go to the board. Find somebody who looks cool to you. And yes, I know your question. You're like, really, is it as easy as just picking someone who looks cool? Yes, it is that easy. I mean, you can overcomplicate it and be like, but I need to do a background check and I need to make sure that I agree with what they're doing and I need to make sure that this is who the Lord wants me to pray for. Jesus wants you to pray for everybody. So, like, this, whoever you choose, the Lord does want you to pray for them. But go, and just pick one person, because sometimes we can lose track if we pick too many, and be like, hey, she looks cool, or hey, they're from, like, they're going to Africa. Yeah, somewhere really cool, somewhere that you're like, they go to the Philippines, or they go to Japan. So I'm going to just pray for them. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to commit every time that, like, I'm praying to go, "Hey, Lord, also bless Dean Malaspina and everything he's doing in Italy. I pray that you would provide for him and support him in whatever way you can." And then you can even, you can go to like the front office or you can call the church up and be like, "Hey, is there anything that whoever you chose needs? Or have they been sending out any like prayer updates?" And they do like prayer updates every month. So they'd be like, "Yeah, totally, here you go." And then pray for that for them. So if they like, if they're praying that they can get an apartment, then pray that they can get an apartment. Or if they're praying that their sick puppy gets better, then pray that their sick puppy gets better. These are serious needs. I want you to pray for my puppy if my puppy was ever sick. Just so we have that clarified. Just so that's clear. But just commit. Go down to, and it can be like next time you're down there. It doesn't have to be today, but it can be today. Go to the missionary board. Find somebody who looks cool, whose missionary place looks cool, and say, "I'm just going to pray for them." And then pray for them. And then maybe one day you'll be like, "Hey, I think I'm going to write their kids a postcard." And then before you know it, you'll be like pen pal buddies with their kid who's like the same age as you. And is that, what do they call it? Pen pal? Are you laughing at me because I said pen pal?
I have a pen pal.
Oh, I thought you were laughing at me because I said pen pal. Ugh. But you could like, and then you're like friends with their kid who you didn't even know. But because you guys are both Christians, you're like postcarding back and forth. Or you can decide to send their whole family like a care box. Put like some fancy candy in it and put like new clothes in it and put like a new Bible in it and put like your favorite book in it. You know, like just bless them and support them. Put Cheez-Its in it because maybe they don't have Cheez-Its in Africa. Whatever it may be. And as you pray for them, these ideas will start to come to your mind. Like, oh, maybe I'll send them like a snow globe of Disneyland. Like weird things. But it's God putting it on your heart in different ways to support that missionary. So, I know it sounds really simple and it almost sounds too easy, but nothing is too easy. It's just easy. And that gives you even more reason to do it. So hit up the missionary board. Find somebody. You don't even need to know them. It can be a complete stranger. Just like Gaius didn't know these people. They were complete strangers. And he led them into his home. He fed them, gave them washed clothes and mended their clothes. And just pray. And prayer is a powerful thing. We should never underestimate the power of prayer. And then imagine how cool it would be if that missionary comes back to our church and they do like a missionary update night. And then you go and see, and we do those like all the time. We have them like 3 times a year because missionaries are always coming back, taking breaks. So imagine if you've been praying for them for like 6 months, and then all of a sudden you hear of all these awesome things that God is doing in them and through them, and you're like, "Ah, I've been praying for you." That's what you would do. You'd walk in and be like, "I don't know you, but I've been praying for you." And then it would just spark. You'd be BFFs forever. You know what I'm saying? No? No? You know you guys aren't? No? Huh? Punchline 2016. I feel insulted by that. I don't even know what that means, but I feel insulted. Okay, well, let me pray for us. We're out a few minutes early, but you guys can hang around. We can talk about missionaries if you want. You can, like, talk about your favorite country and why Cheez-Its are so important to me. Just kidding. Cheez-Its aren't that important to me, but I did talk about them a lot during this teaching. I talked about Cheez-Its a lot. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are able to partner up with those who you have called to go places and to like be a missionary for their whole lives 24/7. And we pray that you would show us who we can support and how we can support them. And if it is in prayer, Lord, let us do prayer to the best of our abilities. Let us be like the strongest prayer for them. Because prayer is a powerful tool, and we should use that to bless those and to support others and to send missionaries out. And we pray that if we commit to someone to pray for, that you would pair us up with just the right person in just the right place at just the right time, and that that would really become beneficial to them, Lord, that we'd be able to support them and send them in any way that you desire us to. We ask that you would go with us this week as some of us start school tomorrow and some of us get back into school for this next week. And we pray that you would bless it, Lord, that you would be with us in the hard times of school and in the good times of school, and that you would just be the center of our focus everywhere we go, all the time. And we pray all of this in your name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.